You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The bigger picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm Shazmin Shamsuddin, and epilepsy is one of the most common disorders that affect the brain. Millions of people across the globe suffer from epilepsy. It does not stop, however, a person from leading a healthy and active life. And with the right treatment, it can even stop the seizures from occurring. And if managed properly, people with epilepsy can and do lead healthy and active lives. The first seizure may occur at a very young age, but older people too can experience a seizure for the first time. And to help us understand epilepsy better, is Dr. Lee Moon Kin, a consultant neurologist. Welcome, Dr. Lee.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Lee, could you explain to us how the brain works as far as epilepsy is concerned?
Well, I think we do know the brain is like a giant computer in our body, and it is excitable. The only people who are not having an excitable brain are brain dead. But unfortunately, sometimes for various reasons, certain portions of the brain become hyper-excitable, and clinically, this will be manifested as epileptic seizure.
Okay, so that's when you... What generally happens when you're having a seizure?
Well, the most recognizable form is the generalized seizure, where people have jerks of the limbs, the eyes may roll up, there's some foaming at the mouth, and then they fall over. So that's a generalized seizure.
So they don't fall over first before they have the actual other symptoms you just mentioned.
Well, these things happen very fast, and sometimes the first someone notices an attack is when the patient has fallen over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. From what I understand, there is a gene involved in regulating levels of sodium and potassium in the brain. Now, imbalances in these chemicals have been linked with epilepsy in humans. Could you elaborate?
Well, one would wish it was as simple as that. About half of the people with epilepsy have some kind of inborn tendency to seizures, and there's certainly a familial element. But it's probably not possible to expect that discovering one gene will solve all cases of epilepsy. But the gene that you mentioned is very interesting because it controls the sodium-potassium channel in the nerve cells, and we've always suspected that an instability in this channel is the cause for seizures. So if we could understand what is wrong with the channel, then we could be more specific with the treatment. But it's a long way to really identifying the, quote, gene for epilepsy.
Okay. Very simple in layman's terms for people like me. What causes it? What causes epilepsy?
Well, we believe that, as I said, some areas of the brain become hyperexcitable. In the 50% who are having an inherited form of some sort or other, things that control the membrane excitability of the nerve cells are not working well. Example, the sodium-potassium channel that we discussed. So if these channels are, quote, leaky, then the nerve cells are more easily excited by very mild stimuli. Example, flashing lights, lack of sleep, hormonal changes during the menstrual cycle, many, many things,
right.
Even a fever.
Okay.
But for the other 50%, the epilepsy is actually from an external cause. So someone's had a head injury might have epilepsy, and it's obviously acquired. They will not pass it on to their children. Various brain infections, conditions that damage the brain from blocking of the blood supply. So those kinds are non-inherited, the other half.
Right. Okay. Can, children and older persons also, they're both equally susceptible to epilepsy, or is one more prone than the other?
Well, if you think of the familial epilepsies, they tend to show up in childhood, certainly by late teens. So if an adult has epilepsy, it might be inherited, but it's a lot more probable to be the acquired form from an external cause. So the doctor concerned would look very hard for an external cause and obviously try to treat it and, if possible, remove it.
Okay. Are there different types of epilepsy?
Yes. In fact, epilepsy is probably a syndrome. It is many, many different conditions. So you can imagine epilepsy as a symptom like pain. There are dozens of causes. But if you think about the acquired epilepsies, as I mentioned, you can get it from head injury, from brain tumor, from blockage of blood supply, from a brain infection, encephalitis comes to mind. You can have it from imbalances in your salt levels. So low calcium, low sodium can cause fits, and obviously that's very treatable. It's a bit more complex when you talk about the inherited epilepsy syndromes, because there are many, many familial patterns, and we suspect many, many genes involved. So the doctor depends on the total picture presented by the person in order to come to a diagnosis. For example, when did it start? Is there a family history? Is there some sign of injury on the brain? So a very careful workup is needed to fix the diagnosis, and thereafter you can be more specific in your treatment, okay. More accurate.
Now, what if you have the type of epilepsy that causes you to lose consciousness without warning? Could you explain how this happens?
Well, probably that person has a generalized epileptic seizure, and I think many people are familiar with the fits attack. In Bahasa, it's called Sawan. Mm. And some of my colleagues did a survey of knowledge about epilepsy in Malaysia. More than three quarters of the respondents can roughly describe a seizure. They've seen one. The most commonly seen is the childhood febrile fit. So many parents would be familiar with it. So as I mentioned, there'll be the eyes rolling up, the arms and legs having jerks, some foaming at the mouth, and then the person falls over. Okay. So it's not difficult to
recognize.
Yeah? Yes.
Okay. In Britain, it is said that epilepsy doesn't have any impact on life expectancy for most of the British population who develop the condition at some stage, but it can bring some additional risks, particularly for those with the more serious form of the disease. What are the more serious forms of this condition, Dr. Lee?
Well, the most serious form is the generalized type where you fall over. Unfortunately, if it happens at the wrong time in the wrong place, people might get severe injury. They might drown in the bathtub. Mm-hmm. If they are swimming, they might also get into big trouble. There might be falls or scalds if they are cooking. And if they're working from high places, you can imagine the fall will be quite disastrous. So the loss of consciousness and the subsequent fall are cause for accidents. Once in a blue moon, a person with epilepsy has a complex event leading to death. I must stress this is very rare. People suspect this is what happened to John Travolta's son.
Jet, yes.
Yeah. So this is called sudden unexpected death in epilepsy. And the acronym is SUDEP, S-U-D-E-P. And in such a case, people believe that the surge of brain excitation somehow switches off either the breathing or the cardiac center. But that's uncommon, and although we would like to caution about it, we don't want people to get freaked out about it either. It is rare.
Okay. Now, is it accurate to say a seizure is an abnormal firing of nerve cells? It's like an excessive electrical discharge that burns out some of the wiring, and each seizure may knock out one nerve cell in 1,000, which wouldn't be obvious if you look at it in those terms. But if someone over the course of many years has hundreds of seizures, I guess, you know, there is some kind of cumulative effect. What would these effects be?
Well, we hope that this can be avoided in the individual with epilepsy, but if it's somehow allowed to happen, then unfortunately the loss of brain cells leads to a fall in intellectual function. People become a little vague, a little forgetful. Yeah. And there is a drop in IQ, obviously. So this is what we stress to people when we treat. We must try to eradicate the problem if we can.
Okay. Does epilepsy cause long-term memory loss?
Not if it's well controlled.
Okay.
But short-term memory loss, maybe, because of a temporary jamming of the nerve cells, if you like.
Okay. On that note, I guess, you know, short spells of amnesia, is that also possible?
possible, yes.
Oh, okay. Is it true that the prevalence of memory impairment that goes along with epilepsy is underrecognized and underappreciated by medical experts?
I think we know about it. We try our best to elicit this from patients. But sometimes people may want to minimize the problem. Let's say they're in a high-functioning job. They may not wish to tell people they have a memory impairment. Mm-hmm. But it does happen, and we recognize it, and we try to find out the cause. Sometimes it's the after-effect of a seizure. Right. Sometimes it's a medicine.
Okay. Is it true that the prevalence, this memory loss results in patients reluctant to socialize? What has your experience been like with your own patients?
I'm a bit fortunate to be practicing in an urban location where parents are quick to look for solutions. But there have been reports in more rural locations where, for various reasons, the child doesn't get early attention. So then the repeated falls, the repeated injuries makes the parents afraid to send the child to school, and they then have a premature dropout from schooling, which is very sad because great majority of epileptic people don't have any IQ deficit. So that is unfortunate. The other reason is they may not be so regular with the treatment. So, as you mentioned, recurrent seizures leads to some brain cell loss. So it would be nice if there was more awareness and these children could be treated before the epilepsy has caused them to drop out of school.
Okay, what would you say the awareness is on epilepsy with the general public at this stage in 2010?
Right. I can quote you a 10-year-old study done by colleagues. There is an urban-rural divide. Amongst the urban population, as I mentioned, people are quite clued into health problems and they seek medical advice without too much delay. Mm-hmm. And the diagnosis is made and treatment is started. In the rural population, there is less access to health facilities. People have alternative ideas about seizure. In that survey, people still, a small proportion, thought that it was due to spirit possession. Mm-hmm. A few families thought it was due to mental illness, and therefore you can understand they don't seek treatment from the traditional doctor. So more education is necessary.
Okay. In case you've just joined us here on The Bigger Picture, I'm speaking to consultant neurologist Dr. Lee Moon Kin about epilepsy. When we come back, we'll find out how one can control epilepsy here on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It's The Bigger Picture, and I'm Shazmin Shamsuddin. Today I'm speaking to consultant neurologist Dr. Lee Moon Kin about epilepsy. Dr. Lee, how important is it to control epilepsy?
Well, in the perfect world, we'd like to abolish every epileptic attack because, as you mentioned earlier, studies show that each attack causes some loss of nerve cells. It's not always possible with the severe versions, but with modern anti-seizure medication, the majority of patients can be well controlled. This is to prevent them from having recurrent loss of nerve cells, to prevent them from having dangerous falls, to prevent them from losing either their schooling or their job, and last but not least, to prevent them from losing their self-esteem from the stigma of having a quote, chronic illness.
Right. The stigma used to be quite big, right? I read, it's a fiction. I remember reading a book of fiction about a detective who actually had epilepsy, and he had a dog who would sort of sense the onset of a seizure and would, you know, be able to indicate. It was a special dog. It was trained dog. I'm just wondering, is this something that is available in real life, or was this a complete work of fiction?
We're not there yet. There's no all-knowing dog that I'm aware of. But people are working towards sensors that sense things that are happening in our body. They already have sensors that can detect your heart rate, temperature. I think in the future, it's not impossible to imagine a sensor that would detect the surge of electrical waves as the seizure is about to happen and maybe zap the person with the medication.
Right. Maybe. Okay. In this story, at least, this dog was very sensitive. It was a trained dog. It was a medical dog and would, you know, indicate with with barks and whatnot to take this person into a place where this person could lie down and not fall down and, you know, break their neck.
Be nice to have one, yes.
Yes. Okay, now, can an epileptic patient go into remission, i.e. stop having seizures?
For most people, yes. If you take the broad figures, people have a 2/3 chance of going into remission. And the chance of that is better with the milder seizures, where the chance of remission hits maybe 80%. It is harder if someone is known to have a brain injury. The injury might be from trauma or from an infection or stroke, whatever. The people with no injury in the brain do better. So at least we can say the majority of people can expect to go into remission with proper treatment.
Okay. What could trigger a recurrence?
That's called a provoked seizure. Sometimes people with epilepsy get a bit fed up of the treatment, especially teenagers. Maybe they're in the rebellion stage. They decide, I've had enough of this, I will stop. So suddenly stopping your medication is a no-no. It often triggers a series of very bad seizures.
Okay.
Yeah.
The medication is oral, I take it.
Yes, yes. Other triggers would be fever, especially for the child with febrile fits. Also, sleep deprivation. If you're up the whole night watching FIFA, maybe someone might trigger a seizure in himself or herself. Various infections and other kinds of stress. Mm-hmm. So it's important to counsel people with epilepsy to watch out for these triggers.
Okay. In the UK, studies carried out indicate that people living in poverty are up to 5 times more likely to develop epilepsy than those from wealthier backgrounds. Does this also apply to Malaysia? What could be the reason for this, at least in the UK?
Well, we don't have the figures for Malaysia, but I guess it won't be too far different from the UK figures. Unfortunately, when people have epilepsy, they are not terribly productive. They will not be able to maintain a good education, and therefore they will unfortunately slide down the social ladder. For those families that have the genetic types of epilepsy, children of parents with epilepsy have the condition as well. So you'll get clusters of people in the disadvantaged groups. Also, some external causes of epilepsy are infection and other kinds of injuries to the brain, and people who don't have a very, how shall I put it, privileged lifestyle are prone to infection, prone to malnutrition, and prone to get harmed.
Okay.
So those are some of the reasons.
All right. What about starting a family? Is it safe for an epileptic woman to, you know, start a family?
Well, I think we have guided many women through successful pregnancies with proper advice, with proper control of the seizures, and choosing medicines that don't harm the fetus. There's no reason why a woman with epilepsy should not have a family.
Okay. A genetic defect that could be responsible for up to half of all cases of epilepsy has been identified by scientists. Could this be good news for people suffering from epilepsy throughout the world?
We come back to what we discussed at the beginning.
Yeah.
This study was in mice. So they showed that in a certain kind of genetically engineered mouse, a lack of a certain sodium-potassium channel gene caused these mice to have epilepsy. So this study is important because it proves that abnormalities in the nerve cell membrane that result in hyper-excitation are important in epilepsy. But it's a long way ahead before we can expect this genetic discovery to produce a cure for epilepsy. But in the meantime, we would like to stress that we have plenty of effective, safe medications available. And unfortunately, some people shy away from medication from various preconceptions. And we like people to understand the drugs and use them to the best advantage, rather than fear the side effects unnecessarily.
Okay. Is there a support group for people suffering from epilepsy in Malaysia?
Ah, thank you for asking. There is. It's called the Malaysian Society of Epilepsy, Bersatuan Epilepsy Malaysia. I don't have the phone number offhand, but you can
Google it.
Google it. It's epilepsy.org.my.
Okay, wonderful. I thank you very much for making time for us this afternoon, Dr. Lee.
Thank you for inviting me.
That was consultant neurologist Dr. Lee Moon Kin on epilepsy. This is The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.